Interpretation? Okay. We heard prophetic folks. It's good to be here. Signs and wonders. We think of signs and wonders with last days as our prophetic message came across, but I think we could list this presentation as showing some more of God's signs and wonders, some of his wonders that are on such a small level that we usually don't think about them. But science has done us a favor. It's shown us more of God's wonders. And I'm going to attempt to express a little bit of the incredible wonders of God. Have any of you ever seen this old movie called Fantastic Voyage, where there was a patient in the hospital? I think he had a blocked artery or vessel or something, and there was this scientific crew that had this vessel, and they had this machine to shrink it down to a microscopic level with the crew inside, and then they were to go through the arteries of the human body to the place where the blockage was, and they were to zap it so the person would be healed of that problem. Well, you're going to have your own fantastic voyage here this morning, because we have embedded in the presentation, we have a video, and it's pretty fantastic. So, it's got to do with DNA. And I've got a verse to start off with. You know, the Bible does talk about God's wonders and how he does things that are way beyond us. We're going to look at some things that are normally way beyond us that God has allowed us to learn about through scientific discovery. And I was doing my little YouTube cruise one time, and I came across some fantastic animation showing the DNA molecule. It's not just a molecule, but it's an incredibly complex thing, and that it was featured in this video. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'm just going to read that verse. It is he who does great things and unfathomable and wondrous works without number. So Job had a handle on that. Okay, let's try a little trivia quiz. And I've told you the answer already. Got things out of order a little bit, but that's okay. What is 1.8 meters long, about 6 feet, and invisibly thin, coiled up in almost all of the 30 trillion cells that make up you? I say almost all the cells because apparently red blood cells don't need to have DNA inside of them, and maybe there's a couple others. Pardon? I did, didn't I? I'm sorry. I'm not very good at games. Yeah, the answer is the DNA. And I just said to myself, 6 feet long, coiled up in each one of almost all of my cells? How? Well, later on in the video, if I forget to mention it, you're going to see a coiling process. And the invisible strand becomes a little rope and so on and so forth. But there's more to it. What if you what if you took all of the DNA in all of your 30 trillion cells? By the way, it'll say 10 trillion in the video, but I think they revised it upward as they've continued to modernize and stuff. What would happen if you put your 6 foot long, 1.8 meter DNA end to end 30 billion times? Trillion. 30 trillion times. You'd end up with 54 trillion meters, or divide by 1,000 to get 54 billion kilometers. You have 54 billion kilometers of DNA, plus or minus, inside of you. How far would that reach? Well, you don't even need 1 billion kilometers to get from the sun to Jupiter. I mean, I had to fact check this. I had to go online and check several sources to make sure I wasn't way off. It's hard to take in, isn't it? So you're talking about 70 times the distance from the sun to Jupiter inside yourself, inside of you. You are an astronomical wonder. Okay, so now we're going to have a little animation. And to help you understand it, I mentioned already that you're going to see the strand. This is an accurate depiction, but it's like a drawing or an animation. And you're going to see the strand grabbed by little worker molecules and starting to be spooled onto there. And then those little worker molecules are going to come together in a beautiful symmetric shape. And then they're going to start to coil. And then you're going to see how in the world does 6 meters of DNA coil down to something that fits inside of each of your cells. Okay, so that's going to be depicted. What is the deal with DNA in your body? Just give you an illustration. It's like a blueprint. If you wanted, like when this church was built, I would suppose that there was a blueprint that was made. And there were dimensions shown, and there were materials listed, and all the plans, the conceptualization for this building was actually somewhere on paper. We call it a blueprint. But does the blueprint create the church directly? No. What's required is there needs to be tradesmen, there needs to be tools, skill saws, table saws, measuring tapes, hammers, nails. Those things have to be brought in, but those workers are reading the blueprint all the time, aren't they? And then they're going off and doing a task that has to do with the raising of a building. So I would like you to realize that what you're watching is the workmen. These are little worker molecules. Each has a task, and somehow they get it, their task right, and they do what they're supposed to do over and over and over again. Okay, let's have a look at it. So on the scale, right now you're only magnifying a human cell 10,000 times, that's all. When you get to the more microscopic or almost atomic level, you're looking at 10 million magnification, just so you don't lose your perspective. Okay. All right, let's just watch it. There's a nucleus there. And there's the entire cell. Now we're looking at one DNA, but it's looped around these helper or worker molecules. This is only 10 million magnification. Now we've got little guys running along a strand of DNA and transcribing the information from the blueprint. Here is a gateway into the internal nucleus of the cell. and only certain workers with passes are allowed inside. And here's the exterior of the nucleus with the receptors. Now we're back to the cell. Okay, so now we start with the DNA strand. It says 10 million cells, a trillion cells. I think it's been revised up to 30. 1.8 meters of DNA inside of you. Oh, here come the workmen. They know it's too long to fit in a cell, or somebody told them. And now they're gathering these microscopically thin strands of DNA together, coiling them. So that 1.8 meters will fit inside of your tiny, tiny cells. Now we've got a kind of a rope of DNA. Now we've got it all packed together into a chromosome. Now we're back outside looking at the cell. And what's it doing? It's duplicating the DNA that it has inside of it to create a second daughter cell. And they're pulling apart with perfect precision without breaking the strands of DNA. Can you imagine that? This is the little motor, very specialized tool and workman that is copying your DNA so that you can have more cells. By the way, you have to replace 10 to 50 billion cells per day in your body. Copying your DNA. Here's the machine that does it, molecular machine. How does it get it right? How does it not break down? Where did it come from? God, right? Did this just happen by itself? I don't think we could make it out of our Lego blocks. Now, in the upper left-hand corner, you see a little orange fleck right there. That's vitamin D. It's going to be added to this gene that will increase bone density. And the gene is now being read from the DNA and transcribed so that your bones stay healthy. DNA to RNA, and the RNA has the message needed to produce the gene to keep your bone healthy. Here's the machine that reads the DNA, creates an RNA, sends the RNA off as a messenger to help create the genes that you want. And this is the full speed that it works at. And there it's being transcribed to whatever gene is needed. Back to the DNA double helix. Oh, there's only four different amino acids that write the code for your entire body. For everything that your body creates, it's all created out of a code with only those four amino acids. Here's an example of a base pair, but you have 3 billion of them. Now, access to the genetic code, some parts of the DNA are not needed. They can be turned off. And so the workers wrap some of the DNA up and keep it from getting in the way. and others. This is a sample of active DNA that's being read, and the blueprints are being read. And there's an important word, epigenetic control of genes. I'll try to explain that. Although I'm not a professional. So it's adding a tag to this particular gene, this particular DNA, and then it releases. So these are all important messages and processes going on in the body. So here's another gene that's going to be created from this transcription. He's reading the blueprint. Oh, another machine, and this is to change the position of the spool, and it's like thread around the spool, and now it's changing the position to a different location. This is inactive DNA. It's part of the, maybe it was used in the development of the fetus or something like that, and the person's now an adult, and they don't need that part of the DNA code. Inactive DNA is now being packaged up so that it doesn't get in the way and confuse the issue. It's like the part of the blueprint that's already been built, perhaps, in some cases. They've got 1 million magnification, active DNA, inactive DNA. And there you go. So, I don't know how this impacts you. I hope it does impact you. But you're looking at what's going on inside of you right now. If it wasn't going on inside of you, you wouldn't be conscious. You'd be on the floor, you know. This is what's happening inside of us all the time. Replacing 10 to 50 billion of our cells every day just to keep us going. His eternal power and divine nature are clear to see, says the Apostle Paul, because of what God has made. As a result, all people are without excuse. The Apostle Paul is saying in his day, you could see enough of the universe and nature to know that there had to be a creator. How much more have we seen in our day through the work of science so that everyone should be saying, praise God, there must be a creator. There has to be. These things didn't happen by themselves. The car, the motor in your car didn't fall together out of the air. It falls apart. Yeah, and the longer it runs and the longer it's around, the more chance you have of something wearing out, right? There was a word used in the video called epigenetics. Try to make it simple. I'm not an expert, so people used to think that DNA controlled everything about you. All right? I thought it was unalterable. What they're finding out more recently is that there are environmental factors that can be transcribed or read into the DNA and changes the DNA. So the externals can also change the way the DNA operates, whether it's active or inactive. There's a warning, you know, that if you read functional health and that sort of thing, there's a warning that if you live the life of a couch potato, a lot of your genes that are really important for your health may decide that they're not needed anymore and may switch off. This is a bad kind of epigenetics, where couch potato leads to unhealthy and all kinds of other problems, right? I won't go into utter detail, but you can take it from there. On the other hand, let's say the couch potato person gets off the couch, puts aside their Slurpee, throws their bag of potato chips into the bin, and says, I'm going to walk around the block. And the next week they say, I'm going to walk around the block two times. And then they say, and I'm going to breathe properly as I walk. And who knows, this person may eventually even do a little jog or bouncing on their little trampoline or something like that. And the genes go, hey, wait a minute. I think I'm needed. And they turn back on. This is epigenetics in the good sense, okay? And by the way, another thing you can do besides exercise, if you're really determined, is you can fast. Get proper instructions. Don't rely on just me for your information, but we've read in many places, we've seen many webinars that suggest that it's been studied, it's been proven. There is a process by which, if your genes are active, there is a process by which the body will, under the condition of fasting and kind of the withdrawal of normal food supply, it will begin to scavenge diseased and dying cells and possibly even cancer cells. And the body will begin a process by which it looks for the trash in the body to consume and recycle into good, healthy cells. And the process is called apoptosis. That's a kind of epigenetic feature that I think is wonderful, and you don't even need a doctor's prescription. You are a wonder of God. You are marvelous and miraculous. You created my inmost parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb. Isn't that a marvelous perception on the part of an ancient writer to say you wove me? I think that describes cellular division quite well. You wove me. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. And if they knew it back then, how many times more should we also know it, right? So you may say, Stephen, why are you using this for a sermon? Well, I hope you're catching on. I'm trying to bring the truth about God into the truth that science is showing us about our own cellular function and how incredible it is. I believe that true science gives honor to God, the Creator, who made reality in the first place. You are deeply connected to God. He formed the processes that keep you alive. I thought of something that made me chuckle. Have you ever had somebody say to you, I don't believe in miracles? I don't believe in miracles. Try not to laugh too hard in their face, because what we've just seen is that we are constructed out of miraculous processes. There are miraculous processes, cooperative processes. How do those little workmen work together? How do they talk to each other? How do they know where they're supposed to go? It's just beyond, isn't it? It's just beyond. So a person walks up to you and says, I don't believe in miracles. You just have to say, well, I think you're a miracle. You're a miracle. In fact, there's a lot more miracles around than we give God credit for, don't we? And I think of young people here. I know we've got some young people, and I'm very happy that you are here, and God bless you. And we have some students probably, maybe grade school, high school, middle school, college, university, trade school. You hear a lot of stuff out there in the secular classroom, and most of it is without God. Doesn't mention God. God is just kind of, you know, forgotten about, left off to the side. So that's why I'm bringing it up here today, just because I think God needs to be given credit for what he's done. Couple starting points if you want to do your own research. There's a Creation Ministries organization. It's got tons of resources and references and things you can look at to answer your questions. There's another one called Answers in Genesis that I really like. And the next slide that shows Kinesin is actually from the Answers in Genesis, one of their YouTubes. I haven't mentioned the finger of God. Why did I use that in the title? DNA shows the finger of God. I thought it was a cool way of expressing something that only God could do. Is there something only God can do? Well, back in the days of Moses, who was telling Pharaoh to let God's people go out of Egypt, there was a showdown between the miracles that God did through Moses, and the sorcerers and the dark arts of the Egyptians. And they were sort of dueling back and forth, who can do the biggest, strongest miracle. And finally, the sorcerers gave up. And they said, we can't copy Moses anymore. This is the finger of God. Also, when Jesus was having a discussion about casting out demons, and the leaders were saying, oh, Jesus, you cast out demons because you're using the power of the devil. And Jesus refuted that, and he said, By whom do your sons cast out demons? And then he said, if I cast them out by the finger of God, the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And of course, better pay attention, right? So God is talking to us. And he will hold the world responsible for what science is discovering, and they're discovering it about him, whether they want to admit it or not, whether God's given any credit on the next NOVA program you watch, or, you know. His eternal power and divine nature having been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. The whole world is without excuse, you know. Just look around you. How did this come here? How did this happen? Okay, let's have another fun example of a little workman doing his job inside your body. There's something called Kinesin. He is a micro parcel delivery guy, and he has lots of friends. There's probably billions of them inside your body. And just remember, again, Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things. Well, here's another unsearchable thing. So this little guy, this little workman, somehow he knows just what to do. He's got a cargo that looks like the balloon, and he's got to deliver that cargo to an address. Now, how he gets the address and how he knows where the address is inside the cell, probably a mysterious thing God hasn't shown the scientists yet, I don't know. This little strand that's twisted together, that's the kinesin, and down below, he is walking, literally walking along a scaffold inside the cell. And those scaffolds probably appear and disappear when needed, right? It's called a microtubule. And he is bringing an important cargo to an address. Kind of like a guy named Joe working in a factory. And he's at a machine, and the machine breaks down. And he has to diagnose it. And then after he diagnoses the thing, he sees, oh, it's this part is broken, and we need to order it. So he orders the part from a nearby company, and the assistant in the company has to call another company to access the blueprint, because they have these databases with all these blueprints for all these parts for all these machines. So the blueprint is sent to the company, and then they can machine the new part and fabricate it, and then it's delivered to the correct address back where Joe is. I mean, if the part was made, but nobody knew where it went, it would just sit there. So how is it addressed? And kinesin, of course, is the courier that brings it back to where it's to be located. Billions of times a day in your body, billions of these deliveries happening. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. I would just love to know a little bit more about how in the world these little worker nano micro machines communicate, how they get their instructions, how they know where to go. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So God has a great plan for us all. Now just think about it. Friends, young people, you are a walking, talking miracle. Is this going to just end and you're just going to return to the dust? Or is the God who did this and brought you this far got another extension of plan for you? He's got more for you. And what if you need to give your permission and he's waiting for you to say yes to his next huge part of the plan for you, so that your life doesn't just end with turning back into dust in the ground, but goes beyond that because God has a plan. You know, we've robbed God of honor, and the secular world has shut out the Creator, but he's not going to give up that fast. There is tension in the world. Have you noticed on the news there's tension? And there's going to be a final conflict, and God's going to win. But he loves us, and he wants us to come voluntarily to him, right? Voluntarily. We have seen the finger of God. What will you do with the truth that God reveals, even in nature, even inside of one little cell? The same God has a great plan for you. You can do something. You can respond to this information. You can reach out to the person, the miracle person. The miracle person that God has sent. The one who is from God and who became a man and who is designated by God to take us into the next part of his plan. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? Are you ready to join? You and I need to be renewed and restored. We need God to do that for us. We can't do it ourselves. The best efforts of our little worker molecules in our bodies can't bring us to the point of eternal life. God needs to do that, right? Only Jesus Christ is paid in blood for you to be forgiven and restored. And the blood of Jesus is given at the cross to wash and heal you, to bring you into the next phase of your destiny. Jesus is God's Son, the cure. He is the healer. He is the friend of sinners. He is our leader. Jesus is our destiny and our purpose. He didn't bring you this far and create such a miraculous thing as you without a plan to take you further. This is the plan to take you further. You can invite Jesus to be your personal Savior if you haven't done so already. You can invite him, and I'll give you a suggested prayer, or you can make it your own. Lord Jesus, I need you to rescue me from the deadliness of sin and all the harm it causes. I invite you, Jesus, into my life to be my Savior and Lord. And I'll add, and to continue the great plan that you have for me beyond this life, right? Come to me now and make me what you want me to be so that I can live for your high purposes. Amen. You've seen the finger of God. Will you allow him to continue the good work he has begun in you? Will you let him make you an even bigger miracle than you are right now? Wouldn't that be great? Shall we pray? Thank you, dear God. You have put such incredible, wondrous effort into the making of us. You've made us, each of us, miracles, walking and talking miracles. And you have even more planned for us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would help us to receive you and to fully allow you to be that Savior and Lord in our lives and to work in us your good and precious will so that our destiny may be fulfilled in you and we may live in your kingdom forever. We just ask you to be with each person here who is hearing these words and you help them to understand them and to appreciate what you are doing and will continue to do through Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.